Welcome to the King's Cost, dynamic teaching recorded live at King's Church in Cambridge, England. We hope you are blessed and challenged by listening to the ministry today. And now, here's the broadcast.
Morning, church. Morning. It's an honor, it's a privilege, it's a delight to be here today and bring the word. And I just need to say that it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit who makes things that we never imagined, who make us do things that we never imagined we could do. All the glory, all the praise, all the credit is to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, church, I'm going to talk to you about something that is called seeking the midnight hour. Seeking the midnight hour. At midnight, midnight in the Bible symbolizes a decisive moment of divine intervention, judgment. Midnight means intense prayer. It's the peak point of the spiritual wait, often marking the passage from crisis to liberation. It represents the darkest point of the night, indicating that the relief or the arrival of God is nearby. The biblical midnight is a call to vigilance in the midst of the darkness. And when I'm talking about midnight, I'm not talking about 12 a.m. sharp. I'm talking about a gap of time that runs from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m., that is the third watch, and from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., that is the fourth watch. During that time, during those hours, is when Jesus used to withdraw to pray, to make communion with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And it's precisely during those hours where the spiritual activity is very intense. So that's why it's important to seek the midnight hour. Midnight is silence. It's complete silence when nothing stands between God and us. Just as God called Samuel in the night, today God is calling us, all of us today. I don't know if it has happened to you, but me it has happened many times. So we just wake up suddenly in the night for no apparent reason. We just wake up, yeah? And that is precisely when we need to be very attentive, very alert to what God is calling us to do. Perhaps is to get on our knees and intercede for someone. Perhaps is to make a prayer for some need. Or perhaps just to be still with open ears to receive guidance, direction, vision, revelation, or even correction. Okay? Great things happen at night. And in the Bible, there are several passages when God's judgment and intervention, separation from wisdom and foolishness, and preparation and vision and revelation are given at night. Midnight is a watershed between the day that ends and the day that begins, between oppression and liberation. Midnight is the watershed between uncertainty and resolution. Midnight is the watershed between worry and peace, between past and what is to come, between darkness and light, between our way of doing things and how God wants to do them. How wants us to do them. Something happened at midnight. At midnight is when one day ends and another one begins. Perhaps the day, it was a bad day. We all have bad days. Okay? But with the new day comes hope. It's another opportunity to do things the way of God. There might be weeping in the night, but joy comes in the morning, says Psalm 35. Yeah, man. At midnight, a new day begins, where we can see God's mercy, hope, and grace pour on us. When we trust, when we obey, and when we give thanks God, there is a promise that it says, if you lay down, you will not be afraid. When you lay down, your sleep will be sweet. Will be sweet. But that doesn't mean that we're going to be wake up suddenly to do something for God. That's Proverbs 3:24, by the way. So, let's get into topic. Let's see what happens at midnight according to the Bible. And I'm going to start with the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 8. All the verses that I'm going to be reading are from the English Standard Version, okay? Just to let you know. So, Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 8. This is Jesus speaking. And he said to them, which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, let me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is shut now, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I'll tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his imprudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Here, church, we have an example of someone importunate, someone reckless, insistent. It is importunate and imprudent to ask a neighbor for anything at midnight. It sure will cause annoyance. We will upset the neighbor if we go and knock the door at midnight asking and knocking the door, okay? But also imagine if, on top of that, this neighbor knocks and knocks and knocks the door to the point where he makes the neighbor give him what he needs just to stop him knocking the door. That is called insistence, yeah? That's been insistence. That's exactly how we need to pray. This is how we should ask God insistently at all hours, even at midnight. Let us insist on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our households, in our families. Let us ask, even if we are importunate, insistent, persistent, let us keep asking and asking and asking. That's what Jesus is calling us to do. Be insistent at midnight. And how we should pray. This is how we should ask God insistently at all hours. It is at midnight when we need to act. When the new day begins, something changes. It is at midnight with our own insistence, the doors that have been closed are going to be opened. Midnight marks the time of intercession. It is a time to pray for others. That is the message that Jesus proclaims in this parable. And he's teaching us about the importance of persistence in prayer. Today, God is calling us to be insistent in prayer, in our prayer. Persistence in prayer overcomes apathy and strengthens our faith. Persistence in prayer transforms our hearts and minds and helps us to understand and express the need, the intensity of our need. Persistence in prayers will make us recognize God's power and work. That is why precisely Jesus says just next in Luke 11, 9 and 10, the same chapter, Luke 11, the next two verses, 9 and 10, it says, Jesus says there, and I'll tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Amen for this. Let's say amen for this. Midnight represents an unusual, out of hours, importunate time, demonstrating that praise, thanksgiving, prayer are not limited to circumstance, convenience, or comfort. It involves continuous devotion with discipline and without excuses 24/7. 24/7, church. Psalm 119, verse 62. It says there, at midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. In this verse, the psalmist highlights the proactive, conscious decision to worship and express gratitude to the Lord at midnight rather than stay in bed, staying asleep. That's why we should say, I rise to praise you, Lord. Likewise, this verse expresses the motive for midnight worship, midnight prayer, which is God's just, true, and righteous character and laws. So, let us be importunate and seek God in the night. Let us ask the Holy Spirit when importunity, with passion, with persistence, with discipline. The work of the Holy Spirit in us, in addition to gifts and miracles, are our transformed lives, reflecting the character of Christ in every situation, in every moment. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in us, how he is going to be transformed us through the Holy Spirit. Let's say amen for this. Amen. Let us ask God. Give me the Holy Spirit, because I need the Holy Spirit in my life. Give me the Holy Spirit because I need your fire, Lord. Give me the Holy Spirit because I'm tired of being lukewarm. Give me the Holy Spirit because I'm tired of not being able to do things in your power. Give me the Holy Spirit because when I do things on my own, I always make mistakes. Dear Holy Spirit, I need your guidance. I need your direction. Give me the Holy Spirit because I need to use me for your kingdom. Amen for this. That's how we need to pray. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us not be religious. Let us not be a Sunday believer. Let us not be lukewarm. Let's act at times when no one bothers us. God is 24 hours. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't sleep. But let us be importunate, persistent, insistent that our God is going to pour out the Holy Spirit on us. The power, he's going to give us the power, his power and his authority. That's what we need to act in the Spirit. The power and the authority. In the book of Exodus, from chapter 7 to 12, the plagues that God sent to the Egyptians are described in all those chapters. And it also relates how every time Moses appeared before Pharaoh and tell him to let his people go, the Pharaoh always put an excuse, put a condition, condition him. First, that only men could live. And Moses said, no, we all want to live. Then another plague came. And then the Pharaoh said, well, let the men and women go. And the Pharaoh said, no, we all want to go. And another plague came. Pharaoh said to them, go away, you, your wives, and your children. And Moses said to him, and we are going with our cattle too. And Pharaoh did not let them leave. And then what I'm going to read happened next. Next happened, okay? And this is in Exodus chapter 12, verses 29 to 32. It starts, at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in a dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Up, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone and bless me also." It was at midnight, with an act of divine intervention and judgment, God caused Pharaoh to finally let the people of Israel go. It is at midnight when divine intervention and judgment happen. Here in this story, we can see that the oppressor released the people of Israel at midnight. It was the oppression of them, okay, of slavery. And there are times when something is oppressing us. There are all sorts of oppressors in our lives. Oppression comes from the devil. It reaches individuals, persons, people, it reaches homes, it reaches families. And there begins to be oppression to do things that lead to death, such as suicide, pornography, adultery, separation, division, divorce, breakup, rebellion, pride, apathy. And there is oppression as well in economy and finance, in the households as well. So, when being troubled like that, we can break the yoke of the oppressor at midnight. For it is when we can cry to God. When Jesus spoke about prayer in what we just read in Luke 11, he was speaking about midnight prayer and importunity and persistence. That's what Jesus is teaching us in those parables. Just as God moved in favor of the people of Israel, God is going to move in our favor of our families. God is going to move in favor of our children. God is going to move for our healing, because our God is a God of deliverance. He's a God of deliverance. Amen for this. Amen. God wants us to wake up at midnight prayer. That's what God is calling us today. Let's go now to the book of Judges, chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, verse 3. But Samson lay till midnight, and at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. Here we see again that it was at midnight when Samson suddenly wakes up. And here we see how divine intervention causes Samson to act unexpectedly, and what he did with the city gates left those who want to kill him without a chance. In this verse, we see again that God's intervention was at midnight. It is at midnight when the gates of the city are taken. It is going to be at midnight when the doors that are closed for our finances, for our business, for our jobs, for spiritual growth, for health are going to be opened at midnight. Those closed doors that make people powerless to take them will be open until we wake up at midnight and begin to pray. Until we wake up at midnight and start raising a cry to take those doors that are closed to be open. That those walls will be crushed down. To those yokes and bones to be broken. It's with the midnight prayer, church. So many of those who sleep because they are under some kind of yoke or bound to any sin do not know or do not realize or do not want to realize that there is a call from God that can break that yoke, that bondage. Today, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to wake up to that call at midnight. God called us to wake up at midnight and take those closed doors and open them. To break every bond of sin, any oppressor that keeps us cramming a life of holiness. Now we're going to read Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. Jesus, again, teaching here. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will be not enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I don't know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Well, the context of this parable is of a wedding in days of Jesus, in Jesus' days. On the wedding day, the groom will go to the bride's house for the ceremony. Then, after the ceremony, the couple, along with a large procession, will return to the groom's house. And there will be a party that usually lasted a week. A whole week. A party of a whole week. These 10 bridesmaids were waiting to join the procession to participate in the wedding feast. But the groom did not arrive at the scheduled time until midnight. 5 of them ran out of oil for their lamps, and when they went to buy it, the door closed and they could no longer enter the party. What is this teaching us? We must be prepared when Jesus returns to take his people to heaven. Because we don't know the hour, nor the day, neither the day nor the hour. Spiritual preparation cannot be purchased, lent, or borrowed at the last minute. We ourselves must have a personal relationship with God, and our lamps must be filled with oil, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, so that we do not miss the wedding of the Lamb with his beloved church. Midnight marks the time of the groom's arrival as a watershed between the waiting in the dark and the arrival of the groom. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom we are waiting for. And he is the one who brings the light of a new, eternal, and glorious life in communion with God. Just as the virgins nodded off and fell asleep, many of us be asleep. We may be asleep. Getting asleep is pretty human, because we are tied to problems, to recurring sins. But today, I'll tell you that there is a call from God that at midnight that breaks with all that. So, today, we need to take up that call and set us free from oppression. We, the believers, Isla, the 10 virgins of the Matthew's passage, half are prudent and half are foolish. Although we might nod off all, that's pretty human, we all might nod off and be asleep. There are some that who have not stopped having their oil and have looked up for it and have acquired it and have it in reserve. But there is another group of people who are like foolish bridesmaids who do not have enough oil, and their lamps start running out, begin to go out. Now, I'm going to ask you, each one of you, I'm going to ask you, what kind of believer are you? Each one of you. Perhaps one of those who always have oil in their lamps and never goes out. Or perhaps we are like those people who runs out of oil in their lamp and their lamps goes out. The oil is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The one who makes us shine in the darkness of this world. The one that makes us different, because we show the traits of the fruit of the Spirit in our behavior, in our reactions. The one that makes us to do things that we never imagined that we could do. That's what the anointing of the Holy Spirit makes in our lives. In the second book of Kings, in chapter 4, there is a story of a troubled woman whose husband left debts. And the creditors at that time were collecting the debts, but taking the children and making them slaves. So this woman went to Elisha, and then Elisha asked her, "What do you have at home?" And she told him that she had a jar of oil only. That the only thing she had was a jar of oil. And Elisha told her, "That's enough. Go and borrow many vessels as you can." And then the word says in 2 Kings 4:4. Then 2 Kings 4:4 says, "Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour oil into all these vessels. And then when one is full, set it aside." The woman filled all the pots that she could get. And when he filled up the last one, the oil ran out. But with all these jars of oil, she sold it and she paid off the debts, and she could go ahead with her children. Okay? So there was this was one of the miracles that Elisha performed. The Lord Jesus himself have the discipline to go and pray early before dawn to have communion with the Holy Spirit, with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. He had the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the communion through the Holy Spirit. The same Lord Jesus used to do that to withdraw when it was still dawn, before dawn, in the darkness, during the third and the fourth watch. And what about us? Do we have oil in our homes? There are many people, many, many believers, that do not have oil. They do not have the anointing to face the enemy, the problems. They don't have the anointing to be able to fight their battles. But when a church begins to wake up, and then we realize that having oil is a priority, is what it matters the most, because at midnight there is going to be a cry. Jesus is coming for a church that has oil. He's coming for those who have their lamps lit and ready to go with him. Two verses from the book of Acts in chapter 16 show us that it is at midnight that we will be tested whether we have oil or not. It is fascinating, church. It's just fascinating. It's so impressive to read through chapter 16. Well, through all the book of Acts, but now specifically in chapter 16. Okay? And just read through and know how Paul and Silas were led by the Holy Spirit to the city of Philippi in Macedonia. The Holy Spirit guided them, put them there, asked them to go there. There, in Philippi, there was a woman named Lydia that was converted and opened the doors of her house so that the word of God could be preached in that city. That is probably there. It was probably there when it was planted, the first church in Philippi, in the house of Lydia. But also, in that city, in Philippi, there was a woman with a spirit of divination, a fortune teller, a pythoness. In other words, a pythoness. And this word pythoness comes from the word python and is related to the snake, to the python snake. And this python snake kills its prey by oppression, by constriction, coiling itself around the body of his victim, squeeze them, pressing them, and suffocates them. That's the way these snakes attack. I'll tell you that there are cities, there are persons, there are people, there are cities, there are families that are under the influence and under the attack of the python spirit, which envelops them, so involves them, envelops them. It envelops them and oppresses them until they block the breath of the Holy Spirit. There are many people who are spiritually imprisoned by this spirit, by the spirit of oppression. These people are discouraged, are the ones who are discouraged. The first thing that produces the oppression is discouragement. They lose hope, they are depressed, they are anxious, and in extreme cases, this can lead to suicide. Because Python, the Python spirit, is suffocating their lives. Entire neighborhoods, entire cities, families can be trapped by demons who act like python spirits. But when Paul freed the woman from this spirit, those who benefit from her raise a crowd against Paul and Silas. Then they stone them, they put them in jail, they whip them, and they beat them with sticks. They imprison their hands and feet in shackles. And then I'm going to read these two verses in Acts 16. It's Acts 16, verses 25 and 26. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Paul and Silas were scourged, imprisoned with shackles on their hands and feet, and locked up in a dungeon. Despite this terrible situation, they praised God. They were praying and they were singing while the other prisoners were listening to them. Whatever our circumstances, we should praise the Lord all the times. All times. Yeah. Divine intervention came in the night to free everyone from prison that time. Can the worship team come to the front, please? You know, church, this story really impresses me. It really strikes me. There are people who are suffering from multiple situations in life, including for preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel is going to lead us to be beaten in many ways. Working for the kingdom of heaven is not for the lukewarm. Many believers do not understand what the cross of Calvary means. They do not understand what is to suffer for Christ's sake. So they become discouraged because there is a python spirit oppressing them, taking away their breath. Paul and Silas, who have their backs wounded by the scorching and with shackles on hands and feet, they did not lament and said, "Why do we serve Jesus? Look how it has gone for us to preach the gospel." Not at all. They didn't say that. They didn't even think it. You know why? Because they knew the power of the cross, the power of suffering. They worship the Lord. The enemy oppressed them. They beat them to make them discouraged, to discourage them, to stop what they were doing. When they freed the woman from the python spirit, that thing turned against them. But they had oil. They had oil. They had the power of the Spirit. They had the authority of God, and even though their bodies were crushed, they began to worship God and sing to Him at midnight. Then the prison was shaking. The foundations were shaking. The chains, bonds fell. The roots of demons were cut off. All it happened because at midnight, beaten and in the midst of pain, Paul and Silas were singing hymns and songs to God. And God responded with an earthquake and loosening chains. Let's declare today, church, that the doors of the prisons are going to be open in our families, in this neighborhood, in this city, in this nation. Let us raise a cry, an adoration, a prayer. If you are someone who is lukewarm, if you are under oppression, and you are tired, you are depressed, you are discouraged, you have no more strength, today is a day of liberation. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ is setting the captives free. If you are worried by some problem, by any sin, today is your day to break away from all that. Today, all bonds are broken in the name of the Lord Jesus. Today, all the chains fall and all the prisons prisoners are going to be set up free. All the prisons are going to be opened. Raise your cry. Raise your prayer. Let it be heard. In the name of Jesus, today the yoke of oppression is broken. It's broken. Wake up. Wake up, church. In Jesus' name, we declare an awakened church filled with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of the Lord. Stand up and declare it. Raise your prayer. If you want to wake up, raise your prayer. Raise your cry. Let go of your bones. Let go of your chains. At midnight, cry is raising up. The chains, the bonds, the oppression are broken. Say it, just say it and declare it. A new day is coming. More oil is coming. May the cry of the Holy Spirit be heard.
Thank you for listening, and we trust that the Word of God has inspired you today. For further information about King's Church, or to access our large archive of other recordings, go to www.kingscambridge.org. If you're listening on iTunes, we would love you to leave us some feedback. God bless and goodbye.